I'll preach out of Psalm 142. Okay, anybody know what a maschil is? M-A-S-C-H-I-L. It says, I saw a maschil of David. A prayer when he was in the cave. So is a maschil a prayer, or is it some other form of... Anybody?
Are you looking at the parts?
Yeah. That's not the term that nobody knows what it is.
That's Selah.
That's Selah. Yeah, you're right, Selah.
What chapter did you say?
Psalm 142. I'm going to look it up real quick, so bear with me. Oops, wrong one. A maschil is an epithet prefixed with to 13 psalms. It is a contemplative composition. It's a song that enforces lessons of wisdom or piety, or how to walk with God better. But they don't know what the full meaning of the word is. It's been lost. But that... But it's an implication that, you know, it's a instruction. I'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I just ask that you'll have your way in this message. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. And I poured out my complaint before him, and I showed before him my troubles. And when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. And in the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. Sometimes life does that. You're planning, you're walking with God, and you think things are going fine. And then you find out that there's people laying snares along the path as you're going. And you can pour out your troubles to God and he will hear them. And it says that even when he was pouring out his complaint and his spirit was overwhelmed, God still knew his path. God wasn't confused by it. And in the way wherein I had walked, they had privily laid a snare for me. It was a secret. The privily means a secret. They did not want him to know they were laying these traps. But God knew about the traps, and God revealed, hey, there's traps ahead. And I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. So we say, God, you know what they've done. You know what their plans are. You know how to deliver. You will treat me right. And you will be my portion, and you will be my refuge. If we go to God that way, he will always deliver us. He will always move us beyond the point. And usually bring the snares will turn up empty. If you've ever done any snaring, where you lay traps out in the wild, you lay it along the trail that you know people walk or the animals walk. And the animal walks into it and they get snared by it. Sometimes it kills them instantly. Sometimes it holds them there until the hunter can come along and take them. But God delivers from those kinds of traps. Even if it's the path we walk all the time. So people know our methods, they know how we're working, and they say, well, we will do this and we will catch him because he's got to come this way. God still knows how to deliver. if you're in the military, for those that are going into battle and stuff, they will tell them, make sure you know your entrances and your exits. Make sure you know when you're going out that you're not always walking the same path. Always take a different route than the one you took, because if you do it differently, it's much harder to catch you. But most people don't think with a military mind. Most people are thinking, you know, I got to do my life and I got to go about my chores. And I got to get the things done. And so you run here and you run there. And you everything you do is just in an order that makes sense to you. But most of the time we copy the same paths over and over again. Because we've got the same things to do. And it turns into a habit that we go that way. Last night we were in Walmart. And a guy came up behind us pushing his cart. And he bumped into the back of me. Oh, excuse me. You know, but he had plenty of room. And there was no reason for him to bump me. And I knew something, it was weird. It was odd. And so I turned around and, you know, put my we were standing at the grocery area. So I turned around and had my back to the grocery area. And then another man came up and joined him because he just kept going. He didn't stop. Once I turned around, he started. And so went on, and this other man came up and joined him, and Kathy said, wow, they're moving like inmates.
Oh, yeah.
They were walking exactly like inmates walk, and if an inmate sets a trap, the other inmate comes up and joins him. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it was something odd, and so I said, well, let's check and make sure that he didn't take anything, because, you know, people bump into you, and they'll pickpocket you, they'll do whatever, but all my stuff is always in my front pockets. I don't keep anything in my back pockets. So he didn't get anything because he bumped me from behind. But I was thinking that's probably what he was aiming for. And it's always worth knowing where you are in any situation. And, you know, then if they had gotten something, we would have called the security from the store and asked them to go over the videotapes and, you know, catch these people. But you got to know. You got to realize that when people bump into you, it can be accidental. It's not always. But people lay traps. And God knows how to deliver. You know, sometimes we don't know the traps that are laid for us. God knows them, and he's not surprised by them. But sometimes he doesn't reveal it to us in advance that the traps have been laid. And we've got to make sure that we're doing what God tells us to do so that he can tell us. Last night I had a thought about how people complain about the state of the world. And they talk about this, and they talk about that. And I was reminded that Jesus said the fields are white to harvest. The laborers are few. And I posted it on the church page on Facebook that, you know, Jesus said the fields are white to harvest. The laborers are few. Are you just commenting about the world and complaining about it, about how people are? Or are you doing something about it? Are you winning souls for the Lord? You know, it was just a small thing, but a whole bunch of people have liked it so far. But the thing is, it's one of those things. We need reminders. Hey, we're still in this, and the world goes however the world goes, but Christians still have their duty. We still have a calling. We're still supposed to be obedient to what God has told us to do. And it's easy to get lost in everything that jumbles around us, and we still have to be right. We still have to walk correctly. We still have to think and make plans. Like if the military man is going to change his route, he's got to have a route planned out. I'm not going to go this way because that's the way I got to go this way. You've got to plan your route. You've got to know what you're going to tell people. You know, sometimes it's spur of the moment. You run into somebody and you start talking. But sometimes you've got to have a plan that, if I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus, I know what I'm going to tell them about Jesus. You know, the Revelation says testimony, the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. If you're going to prophesy, you've got to do it based on the words of Jesus, on what Jesus has done already. Because all prophecy is built off of what Jesus is doing or is going to do. So, to be in that mind that you can say these things are going to be, that these things are what, you know, are what we look for. Or this is who Jesus is. Sometimes that's the biggest prophecy you can give to another person, is to explain how Jesus loves them. You know, it's a teaching. Prophecy is not just words of knowledge of the future. Prophecy is also teaching about who Christ is and revealing him to people. The same way that the title Revelation is the name of the book. Revelation is how Christ reveals himself to all of us. We come to know him, and we come to know him a little bit more, and it's all by revelation. You know, we read it in the scripture, but as that becomes part of who we are, because, hey, now I know this about him, we grow in that. And there's more and more revelation given. Doesn't mean we're speaking the future and talking about future events or writing new chapters to the Bible. We know that the Bible is a written book. But it means that we ourselves are growing. And we need to. So, if this is a chapter where it sounds like he's complaining, he's also trying to instruct. He's trying to tell us how we can grow. He's telling us it's okay to bring our prayers before the Lord. It's okay to cry out to God. It's okay to tell God your complaints. A lot of people say, oh, don't complain, don't whine, don't, you know. If you're going to whine to anybody, it's best to whine to God. Tell him all your troubles. Let him deal with them. On Facebook, going around right now is somebody said something about you. Did you respond by going and talking about them, or did you take it to God? How do we deal with it? Do we go and talk to God about it and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you, and you can deal with all of this? Or do we run out and say, did you hear what they said about me? And I think it's perfectly natural to say sometimes, you know, and to share it with your closest friends and say that, you know, I've got troubles with this. But we need to take it to God as well. We need to make sure that we are involving God in our troubles, that we're giving him the opportunity to move in our troubles, and that we're telling him, we want you in our lives. You know, we're giving you the opportunity to move so that you can have this. Anything we leave on the altar is that much easier for us, because it's one less burden that weighs us down. And we need to take things to the altar and say, yes, Lord, I'm burning it up. I'm delivering it to heaven. It's yours. You know, if we laid our burdens on the altar and sacrificed them, just think how much lighter our world would be. Because most of us carry really heavy burdens, and we are weighted down by our worries and our cares. But if we can take them to God and say, I've laid these all out before you, they're all yours, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. The problem is, worry is perpetual. What I mean by that is, we lay it on the altar, and then we pick it back up, or it comes back to us again, and we say, Lord, I gave these bills to you, but these bills are still here. And sometimes that's the nature of the world, is that bills repeat. You've got utility bills, you've got rent, you've got, and so the bills repeat. And every month, God may bring a deliverance, that there's a way to pay it. But this burden is still there, and it's ongoing. But we don't have to be weighed down by it. If God delivered once, he can deliver again. And, you know, and it's perfectly okay to go before him, Lord, and say, Lord, I'm still dealing with this. We're never going to be totally free of all of our cares and concerns. Because to be totally free of all your cares and concerns means you're dead. As long as we're in this life, we're going to have things we have to deal with. But we also have a God who walks beside us. And so who is greater, the cares and the concerns, or God? You can carry God with you, and your cares and concerns can be a lot less. Because, well, yeah, I'm struggling with this, but he's got that. You know, it makes a lot more sense to carry God with you than to try to do it all by yourself. It says, he will deal bountifully with me. It's a faith-based statement. He is going to do these things. He's going to take care of things. Don't know how, don't know. That's not my concern. My concern is that I know he's going to do it. And that's where we got to put our faith and our trust, is that God is going to deal with things. God is going to have His way. And we are His children, and He cares about us. So while we have problems and ongoing problems and all the things in our lives, He is still God, and He is still working on our behalf.